Happy bonfire night to everyone who celebrates that. Up the Guy Fawkes.
Arsenal, buck up your ideas, mate. Get me in as sporting director, actually.
He's destined for something. He is unbelievable.
Nuno is not going to last.
No.
I thought it wasn't going to last. Leave football before football leaves you, brother.
Your club is in an impeccable position. If you told me that Bournemouth would have taken 7 points off of Arsenal, City and Villa, I would have told you you're in the Lululand. Jokeres has got nothing on the next man I want to touch on. Mr. Chris Wood. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Draw. And it's been an explosive weekend, not only in the Premier League, but in terms of all the fireworks been going off. So happy bonfire night to everyone who celebrates that. Up the Guy Fawkes. The Premier League was explosive, though. A lot of shocking results, to say the least.
I'm not a happy chappy today.
I bet not.
No.
I bet not. We'll kick it off with Arsenal, Roz's favourite subject. They were the early kickoff against Newcastle at St James's Park.
It's never an easy place to go. I'll preface it all with that.
And Newcastle were the back of a good result midweek against Chelsea in the Carabao Cup.
Yeah, as all the talk before the game was, both teams need a result, really. Arsenal, I think, a loss and a draw. And Newcastle haven't had the best start to the season. But it was, yeah, a good result in the midweek. And Newcastle kind of, big result to kickstart their season kind of vibe was what they were saying.
100%. And that's exactly what they got. The lineup from Eddie Howe was fairly brave. I mean, I think he benched Tonali, started with Willock and Longstaff in the middle.
Yeah, benched Harvey Barnes as well, who's had like a good run of form recently.
Yeah, and Tino Livramento, I thought, had a fantastic game. Lewis Hall had a fantastic game.
They just went for dogs.
Yeah, they just outran Arsenal.
Mate, it's, yeah.
And talk to me about this Arsenal lineup. So I think he started Thomas Partey right back.
Yeah, so Ben White is injured. Well, it was like he's just coming back from injury. And obviously no Calafiori, so Timber has to play left back.
Saliba back in the squad, though.
Saliba back in the squad. But
well,
yeah.
Well, you say just Timber has to play left back, but you have a left back on your bench.
Who's Zinchenko?
Yeah.
But to be fair, it's one of these weird ones where...
Is that what you would have gone for, though? You would have played Partey right back? You would have gone that same back forward?
Unchanged, probably. You think so? Which was... But obviously hindsight's a hell of a drug. And I don't know. For me, I don't want to kind of... I don't want to like sum it up with, oh, we miss Odegaard. But like the team, you could see this game, all it was give a ball to Saka and hope for the best.
And then they would just double up on him.
And when Saka, I thought Saka had a good game, to be fair. He put in a lot of chances, but people just either weren't making the run into the box or just kind of Newcastle defending well. But yeah, when it's no Odegaard, it's like Saka is our only creative output, and it's so telling.
You watch the games, and because when there's no Odegaard, teams are more than happy to double up, even triple up on Saka, prevent him going either side. And then where Odegaard would usually be in that sort of free roaming role where no one's picking him up because two of them or three of them are on Saka, you weren't seeing Trossard or Havertz there. And even if they were there, they would get the ball and they don't have that nous to think, right, I can play that pass now. Mm. Or they don't see it, the game sort of playing out in front of them the way that Odegaard does. But the thing is, though, you can't be so reliant on one player, surely.
No, but I saw people on the timeline when Odegaard went out, they were like, you'll see Arsenal, they'll develop into a better team. I'm watching all of you guys. I saw so many people say that. Football Twitter was running amok because he got injured and we had like a good run of form straight after his injury. And everyone was like, oh, this is the real Arsenal without Odegaard. The guy is so crucial. He's literally like the heartbeat of the team.
Yeah.
He's such a talented footballer.
Gels everything together.
Elite IQ. Like, you miss him and it's mental to think that we're better without him. We're not. Let's talk about the problems in this Arsenal team. We'll start from the front. I think Kai Havertz, so we played this like weird, like dogged 4-4-2.
Yeah, 4-4-2.
I hated it. Trossard, mate, we said it a couple of weeks ago, there's a meme. If he starts, he's shit. If he's coming on from the bench, happy days. Do not start him in that kind of mid-roll.
Or you just start like a random player and then just sub one at first minute.
Just genuinely, I don't want to see him anywhere near that kind of central centre-forward role. It's just not for him.
He's better in the final third, isn't he?
Final third, left wing, pushed very high. Martinelli, good God. I gassed up a couple of weeks ago when I got his signed shirt and I said, yes, he's hit a run of form. Hopefully it can continue.
Kick on.
Mate, he looks like a shadow of his former self. I don't know if it's the big injury that he had.
Do you think he's just lost that like extra yard of pace?
Extra yard of pace, or if he's just, everybody confident. Now is just like, he's so predictable. He like head down, run down the line. And mate.
Throw up the video where, I can't remember, Arsenal Fan TV saying they wouldn't swap him for Mbappe.
He's lost something. A little bit of je ne sais quoi. He's not decisive in the final third anymore like he used to be.
Mm.
Questions need to be asked about my guy. Mikel Merino.
Is he good enough?
There's a discussion that our summer window, when we should have made a fat statement, because we were only a couple of points off winning the league, we should have made a fat statement in that summer. And we'll get on to the man behind those signings, Edu, leaving Arsenal, because that's a big thing to discuss. But yeah, we should have made a couple of statement signings in the summer. Did we really make any statement signings?
Calafiori, maybe.
Calafiori, 40 mil for a young, semi-unproven left back.
But he had a really good Euros. I think
really
he,
good Euros.
And he will... There was a competition for him.
And he will, I reckon, prove to be a very good signing.
And he's been good when he's played, like, undoubtedly. But defensively going forward.
Yeah, there's arguments like, is Mikel Merino the statement signing we needed? Is, I don't know, who else do we sign?
Is this ultimately what everyone thought was going to undo Arsenal? Is an injury to a major player? We saw it a couple of seasons ago with Saliba. And then they sort of recruited, they brought in Timber. Obviously, he had a terrible season last year with his injury. And then they've brought in another sort of defensive player in terms of Calafiori, who could play left back, centre back. Ben White being injured, Tomiyasu being injured. I know there is a lot of injuries here.
But I don't want to blame the injuries entirely. Because
you have options.
The options are
there. You've got the young defender as well.
Miles Lewis-Skelly.
Miles Lewis-Skelly, yeah.
What player?
I mean, you've got players in the midfield like Nwanyeri who can come in and do bits. We've seen what he could do. You saw what he'd done midweek. Where's this trust in just throwing someone in the deep end that Arteta used to have?
I don't know. Questions need to be asked. I think I saw a tweet and it could be pretty bang on that, like, do you know when we lost Saliba and then we had that like run that completely lost us the season?
With Rob Holding.
Yeah. I saw a tweet that said like that run of games has scarred Arteta so heavily.
Doesn't want to change the team.
That now he's so like counter risk.
Yeah, and he said it before. People have asked him why did you play this player in that position when you could have moved this other player over? And he returned a comment saying, well, either I could have one person playing that position or I could have two.
Mm.
So if you had, say, Timber playing right back, which I know is a position he plays, and he brings Zinchenko in, surely that's more of a natural fit than playing party right back, which I know he's played before and he's suited to playing.
Yeah.
But surely that's just more balanced than...
No, I definitely agree. I think...
And then you've got Jurrien Timber, who's a defensive monster, up against Anthony Gordon.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Zinchenko should have started. Although when he came on, he looked terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, yeah, like you said, you'd rather have one player out of position than more than one. Well, and also Thomas Partey, he's just not a right back. I know he's can fill in there.
The player he was.
But just stop doing that.
He had a really good season. And since Rice has come in, he's a bit part player.
He started this season quite well.
But
I'd say.
I don't think he's this near the play that he was.
I think all things considered, on and off the pitch, just get rid of him. I know there's talks at the moment that he might get a new contract.
Straight to Saudi.
I think that would be a bit mental. If we can offload him, that'd be nice. Maybe they're putting him into the team and saying new contract just to get his price tag up a bit.
So not throwing the towel.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, maybe is this... Does Arteta have a plan B? Because I there's been a few times
he
has a plan B, but only if it's from the beginning of the game. I rarely see him really change a game, on its head.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. I was going to say, plan B he does, because when we first got the injury to Odegaard and we had that run where we had to play Spurs and then we got that red card to Declan Rice and we had, he handled that situation well. Because we went into that Spurs game with no Rice, no Odegaard, bit parts everywhere, and we won that game. So I think he is good if he's presented a situation and he has time to think about it and plan a situation.
And it's the same when you played City at the Etihad.
Exactly.
And even games versus Liverpool, where you've sort of sat back, absorbed the pressure, hit on the counter. That's his alternative structure.
And that's but pre-planned and built. Whereas
this game,
in the game,
4-4-2, the weird asymmetrical 4-4-2, it didn't work. And it was clear it wasn't working. Did he just think, right, we're going to get our chances, we just need to take them? And he had a couple of chances right at the end. Declan Rice, I think, missed a good chance.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that's what he was banking on. But
yeah, I think his in-game management isn't great.
Is that, an issue here? And then now, on the grander scheme of things, Edu's leaving.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Edu leaving. I've seen a lot of people say good riddance. And mental stuff. Like, I think Arsenal fans are a fickle, stupid bunch.
Yeah.
Remember where we were before these dons came in.
The job that Edu done.
We were in the mud.
Just go back and rewatch the, what was it called, Arsenal documentary?
Documentary.
It's not Sunderland Till I Die. And then you had, like, We Are Arsenal or something. I don't know. But go back and watch those two seasons. The way he handled Aubameyang, the way he handled getting rid of all the deadwood in your club. Your club is in an impeccable position. It is in. I cannot express you the difference between the club before Edu came in and afterwards. And you talk, see the way the players talk about him. You see the way that fans who've interacted with him talk about him. He's such an important part of that club. And I don't really know the reasoning behind him leaving.
No, neither do I. It doesn't really say. He says he's looking forward to a new project, but I don't know.
But for me, it's he's done a fantastic job. The players that he's been able to bring in, he's not allowed Arsenal to get ripped off in the transfer market. He's got good value for players when selling and buying.
100%.
He's attracted the right type of players to the club. He's beat a fierce competition to sign players.
Right. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Last transfer window where we should have made a statement signing and probably pushed to go win the league. Have we done that? I don't know. After January last season, where it was kind of evident, like, get a striker in and we can win this league. Didn't do anything.
So the statement signing needs to be the summer of a striker, really, as well.
This summer, or even if you'd be in early last January when we could have won the league. There's talk that maybe his kind of approach to the transfer market, whilst smart,
too safe.
Maybe too safe? I don't know. I still think he's all in all net positive.
We don't really have the insight into what's going on behind the scenes. Arsenal had a lot of players on. They've got a lot of players on big wages. And I think they're still playing off a stadium. Like, there's a lot going on there. It's difficult to know. It's difficult to know, you know. But like you said earlier, hindsight is 20/20. If Kai Havertz has scored, you know, 15 goals this season already, no one will be saying anything.
Exactly.
But sometimes the market's not there for you. Like, if there was a good striker out there for 60 million, everyone would be going for him.
Get me Gyökeres ASAP, mate. He looks cracked.
He's
and
nuts.
Half. Yeah.
And he's going to end up at United.
Right, I'm going to ask you a question before you ask me. Is the title race over for Arsenal?
Absolutely not.
Come on. Absolutely I agree. Not. I kind of deeped it this morning and I was like, we are literally only 10 weeks in.
We're going to talk about City straight after this, but they are a shadow of themselves without Rodri. And they've got a heart. I think they've got Brighton, Tottenham and Liverpool in the next three. Or so, Brighton, Villa, Liverpool.
You love to see it.
Three teams that can really hurt them. And I'd be surprised if they came out of that run with 9 points. Yeah.
Let's talk about City then.
There's points to be dropped. And Arsenal will only get better with Odegaard coming in. They can't replace Rodri. But you can bring players in. Do you know what I mean? They could, but you probably can replace Rodri. But
well, yeah,
they
whole
can
time
try
January,
hard to replace Ballon d'Or winning 99% match winning Rodri.
Yeah. Right.
And
Bournemouth.
Liverpool as well. We saw Liverpool. They're shaky. They've dropped.
More touch on Liverpool because, like I've said, I was talking to you on the weekend. Is it time for me to start worrying about Liverpool?
Oh, 100%.
I don't know.
100%. Because they find a way. And the way that Trent came out after that game and spoke about Arne Slot just made me think he's like Jurgen Klopp.
But bald.
He's like Jurgen Klopp 0.9.
Come on. Right, City 2, Bournemouth. No, City 1, Bournemouth 2.
Yeah, I mean, going into this game, City, I think, never lost to Bournemouth. 14 wins, something like that, 100% record.
And Arsenal had just lost to Newcastle. So the emphasis is on these two teams, the 100%. City and Liverpool.
And
they both go 1-0 down very quickly. And it was like, ooh, what the hell's happening here?
Going into the game, you had, obviously, City losing to Spurs midweek with a pretty poor performance, to be honest.
Yeah, they looked dire.
And then City coming into this week and you hear Pep going, I've only got 13 fit outfield players. He spoke about Rico Lewis, said he's one player I cannot bench. Benched. Where did you see him? On the bench.
Yeah, Pep's a fraud, mate.
Bournemouth are good, though. And then we saw it against
Arsenal.
Bournemouth
are really good.
And we saw it against Arsenal. They took 3 points from Arsenal. They took, what was it, a point from Villa?
Yeah, when they were, last minute.
And then they've now taken 3 points from City. If you told me that Bournemouth would have taken 7 points off of Arsenal, City and Villa, I would have told you you're in the Lulu land.
Mate, when they got Andoni in, we were pro-Andoni.
And it was a rough start.
It was a rough start, but they stuck by him. And now it's paying dividends.
Dividends,
mate,
are coming in thick and fast. And do you know what? They lost Dominic Solanke in the summer. Evan Nilsson, man, he's so, so smart, isn't he?
He puts himself about well, but he's got like a little bit of tech as well, which
he's like he reminds me of like a Bobby Firmino vibe.
Mm.
Like he's not going to score like 25 goals a season, but the way he plays, the positions he picks up,
yeah, he's a good facilitator.
Like that goal he scored, he just took the weight off it. You know, he didn't. A lot of players that position, Haaland would have just smashed it. But that's
Haaland's
exactly
been
it.
Stinking up my FPL for 1 week too long now.
Yeah, I'm very much on the cusp of getting rid of him.
But yeah. Bournemouth, good, mate. Antoine Semenyo.
He's getting a big six move.
Big six move. And we'll talk about, well, actually, we won't touch on Brentford. But him and Brian Mbeumo, both of those should be playing Champions League football.
100%.
They're elite footballers. But yeah, Antoine Semenyo, quality.
Kerkesh,
mate, one of the best fullbacks in the Premier League.
Unbelievable.
He was highly regarded when they got him in. He was like, I think he was on the, what's it called when you're like
Golden
a kid,
Boy?
Yeah, the Kiddie Ballon d'Or. Yeah, the
Golden
Boy.
Boy,
he was
like
on
that
list. And Kiddie, I was like,
Dior.
Yeah, whoa. But yeah, he was on that list. So I knew when they got him in, I was like, this guy is one to watch. Had a really good Euros with Hungary. And I was like, yeah, he's just grown into season really well. Two assists in this game.
Yeah.
What a player.
And do you know what? You would think like maybe Bournemouth sort of sat back and just absorbed pressure and hit City on the counter. But I think City had something like 65-68% possession. But Bournemouth, the chances they created.
Yeah.
They controlled the game in the
areas
of the pitch they
half.
Wanted
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
I mean, Haaland...
When City get one back, then it's only natural that you're thinking, shit, we're going to bottle a 2-0. So you do sit back. But yeah, the majority of the game, until City got that goal, all Bournemouth.
But that's almost how you need to defend against Haaland. It's like, just limit his area of opportunity. If the pitch is condensed, it doesn't help him because he wants to be able to get on that last man and you just out-muscle, out-speed them and find the finish. He had a good opportunity at the end.
Bowled it.
I don't know. It was a hard opportunity. The ball was dipping like right in front of him, right on the keeper.
Got to score that. Big Haaland, mate.
For him, he should have scored
Big Haaland's got to be scoring that.
But the lack of Rodri is so telling.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, so telling. I like Kovacic, and I think he's had a pretty good start to the season. But he is not built to do that like lone role by himself.
I mean, if they didn't have Gundo, what would they be doing?
I've seen the Man City fans coming for Gundo.
But like, who would be there? Rico Lewis and Kovacic? That's not a Premier League winning
game. Oh, I don't know. But yeah, it's not looking good, bruv.
No, 100% not. And
Kyle Walker... Brother, it's time to learn Saldanese.
Yeah, mate, he is toast.
Yeah, he is so bad.
I don't know what's happened, but the
Semenyo was just bullying him.
Yeah, mate, he got nowhere near him. Mm. Got nowhere. And when this is the thing with players, and obviously Kyle Walker's way more than just his pace, but that was his main asset.
Well respected, probably the best right back in Premier League history. Maybe,
yeah, oh, 100%.
But
best English right back ever.
Jamie Carragher said it, leave football before football leaves you, brother.
And I think this is one season too many. And it's
they should have got rid of him when
we
Bayern
saw it in the
him.
Fucking Euros.
Yeah,
like he is just not it anymore.
No,
what he had is gone, and it's something you can never get back. You can't get that pace back.
No,
you cannot. You do not have the facilities. But yeah, the lack of Rodri is so telling. They're so vulnerable, and not just vulnerable, but going forward, that the gel is not there. Rodri, the position he occupies, he almost sits in the 10 and just recycles the ball.
Yeah, they just get caught too often now,
and the stats of when he's in the team versus without the team goes just to prove that point.
Don't lie. Yeah,
and so that for your going back to your question, is the title race over? Absolutely not, unless Rodri comes back in January, which
is it not over because of Man City, or is it not over because of Liverpool? Because
both.
Liverpool are now 6 points,
7 points clear of Arsenal, 6 points clear of City or something like that.
Wallahi,
5 points
they
clear.
Are looking good. 2-1 against Brighton.
Yeah, and to be fair, they were poor first
1-0 down. They were poor.
Really
Brighton,
poor.
Really good side as well.
But this is what makes me think that they're in this for the long haul, is that Arne Slot made the changes and they came out the second half and they were the better team.
Mo Salah looks hungry as well.
But he didn't do much. Like Arsenal. Like
his goal was nice.
He didn't do much. But that's why he's just in a different bracket.
Yeah, he can have an off day.
Because
punish
the second he cut in... The angle opened up and you thought...
Yeah.
He's celebrated before he's even
hit the ball. Who's a fullback that just let him cut in as well? Like, you know immediately what he's trying to do. Don't let him do that.
But yeah, I don't know. He's just a Premier League great. And it's going to be a sad day when he leaves. But yeah, Liverpool for me are in this in the long haul. I like what they've got going there. I think they're well balanced throughout the pitch. I think Trent defensively looks better. He was talking about Arne Slot after the game. He said, after like first or second week of training, Ollie Slot pulled him up and said, oh, I want to talk to you after the, after training. And Trent's thinking, oh, I'm going to get a bollock in. And then he said that he sat down with Arnie Slot and he showed him 50 clips of him getting like skinned. He showed him Anthony Gordon skinning him, everyone else skinning him. And he said, look, if you, when you're in that position, if you just, if you turn your body five degrees that way, 10 degrees that way, you're going to be in a much better position to make a tackle. And his, defensively, he's come on leaps and bounds.
I haven't seen any of, yeah, compilations of Trent getting roasted this and season yet.
I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Gary Lineker who said, like, it's so much easier to learn how to defend than it is to learn how to play those sort of passes.
True.
So Real Madrid will be reaping the benefits of Ollie Slot's training.
Yeah, they said, they confirmed it. I saw it in the media today that he is their number one target. Scary hours. I don't know. Maybe if he wins, well, to be fair, will he, if he wins the Prem, that's almost more reason for him to leave.
Yeah, on a high.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, why am I not stressed about Liverpool then?
You're not stressed about Liverpool because
probably.
No, because they're still, they're erratic, aren't they? Like some games they come out and they look like they're unbeatable and they've got crazy firepower up front. But then there's other games where they just can't get anything going.
Yeah, just no consistency. But then obviously I look at us and I'm like, we've got even less consistency.
But I mean, defensively, they're the best team in the league at the minute.
Exactly.
And they've still got Alisson to come back. They've got Robertson who's playing bit parts. Simicast has come in and done well. Konate, I think, went off injured, but then he's found
maybe I do need to
start
being worried about
not a natural injury. He'll be back.
I think maybe
game.
Also their run of the season so far has been pretty easy.
It has. And they've got
it's
big
starting
games
to, yeah,
up.
It's starting to get hard
but
now.
But they got past Chelsea.
True that.
They got past Arsenal.
True that. But even that, we... Oh, no, I don't want to say we should have won, but...
But yeah, they find a way. They find
yeah,
a way.
Yeah, no, I think... Maybe
you're not scared because it's only his first season.
Come back to me at the end of the month, maybe.
Come back to me at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Liverpool are definitely a threat. They could beat anyone on their day. And if they come up against this City side...
Next three, Villa, who we'll talk about, got absolutely spanked, but Villa is a hard game.
Hard game.
Southampton.
Yeah.
And then Man City.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens after those three.
Big, yeah, it's you know... It's still very early in the season.
It is.
It's still very early in the Arnie Slot era, but they're doing well. And yeah. I wouldn't be deeply concerned, but you have to beat who's around you.
Yeah, no, they're
and
doing well.
Bit, you can't fucking beat Bournemouth.
Jeez.
And
I've Man City, come on. Right.
Right, yeah, you just spoke about them.
Spurs versus Aston Villa.
Fucking what a game to kick off Sunday. I mean, they stole all of the energy out of the late kickoff on Sunday, didn't they?
Yeah.
But Villa went 1-0 up, and I'll tell you what, Morgan Rodgers is destined for something. He is unbelievable.
Benched him.
He better be in
the England squad.
That England starting 11 against Greece.
And what he would bring to that, because we always think, oh, we need two really creative ones. Get Deck, get Morgan Rodgers, because he is so good at both, like defensively and
he's so
getting
strong
in the box. Strong,
and he's a shuttler. He, bring, he
carries
the ball
up the pitch, and then just play Cole Palmer.
Yeah. And do you know what? I think is it him and Cole Palmer who've got like a really good relationship from...
They do the old Chili's.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. But yeah, he's unbelievable.
Mm.
But then it all fell apart for Villa, didn't it?
Yeah, second half. I don't know what...
Ange was... made a couple changes.
It looked good.
And it was a different team. Dominic Solanke...
Maybe there's just no consistency in the league at all.
Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, yeah, apart from Forest. Who we will talk about after this. But yeah, because Spurs... Weekend before, 1-0 loss to Crystal Palace, giving Palace their first win of the season.
Yeah.
And then midweek, you're thinking...
Good result.
Big result against Man City. And then, yeah, this game...
But Ange is making big calls. He's benched Maddison, playing Kulusevski in that like free Roman 10, paying dividends. He's been their best player probably this season.
Dom Solanke had a good game as well.
Two goals, and that's going to be
see
really...
absolute divvies, like Adam McCullough say, oh, Dominic Solanke's... like a terrible signing, blah, blah, blah. Just because he's not banging in the goals, I think he facilitates so much at Spurs.
You saw how much he's involved in the build-up at Bournemouth.
Yeah, exactly. He's not like Harry Kane. He's not going to do like drop deep and do like a 50-yard diagonal spray.
Right.
But he'll put himself about, leads the press so well.
If he was
which
Harry
is so
Kane, he wouldn't be at Tottenham.
That's the thing. Like with Ange Ball, Harry Kane just couldn't lead the press because my Donny's got like...
ankles made out of polystyrene.
Yeah, whereas... Dominic Solanke puts himself about, leads the press so well. You've got Kulusevski as well around him who will lead the press really well.
They've got energy, haven't they?
They are a really good side going forward, Spurs. They really excite me. Defensively,
Saar in the middle has been really good recently as well.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
They blew Villa away in the second half, didn't they? Just absolutely.
They will. That's the thing with Ange Ball. When the attack clicks, that attack is so good. It will blow a lot of teams away. It's just, can they keep out goals? And this
Crystal Palace loss, all their games are always exciting because it's erratic football.
Yeah.
Inconsistent football. But they got past Man City in the Carabao Cup. They've got Man United next in the Carabao Cup. He could be winning a trophy in his second season.
Yeah. Not if Arsenal have anything to say about it.
Not if Arsenal.
Bring me that Carabao Cup,
but
maybe.
Yeah, I mean, for Villa, is it fixture congestion? Is it a little bit too much at the minute?
Probably. Who do they have? They lost to Crystal Palace midweek, didn't they, in the Carabao?
Yes.
Which is not great. But they're doing really well in the Champions League. Is it three wins from three?
Champions League exactly. Table, which is a weird thing to say, isn't it?
If they drop out of the Carabao, is that worst case scenario? If they kind of... Obviously, I think last year when they got Champions League football was a bit unexpected and overachieving. I think maybe if I get Europa League this season,
is it
going
to be like the Newcastle effect?
Yeah.
Like, fantastic journey getting to the Champions League. And if they keep Emery, it'll be a fantastic journey for the next 5 years.
That's what I'm saying. So just keep jumping between Europa League and Champions League,
build up the funds. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you'll have a good time. And yeah, I wouldn't look too much into this loss every season.
They've got a fairly interesting run coming up. They've got Liverpool away next week. Then they've got international break. Then they've got Crystal Palace at home, Chelsea away, Brentford at home, Southampton at home, and then Forest away, sort of leading into Christmas.
Winnable.
And then Man City in the Newcastle. So the next sort of like eight games are mixed match. Like, they're...
Apart from Liverpool, I'd say most of them are winnable.
Oh, yeah. Chelsea, probably winnable. Yeah. Man City, potentially at that point, could be winnable as well.
But, so, yeah, Aston Villa fans, not time to panic, I wouldn't say.
And I think against Spurs, like, some teams will just get blown away. I thought this game was going to be the complete opposite. I thought Spurs play a high line, no Van de Ven, Ollie Watkins is going to run rampant. Ollie Watkins, Ramsey, Morgan Rodgers getting in behind, Digne getting in deep. Thought it was going to be chaos for Spurs, but they've done very well. No. Tielemans threading the passes. Just didn't click. Spurs' press was brilliant. Congratulations, Ange Postecoglou.
Yeah, you hate to see it. Spurs actually have conceded the same amount of goals as Arsenal. So I come for Spurs' defence. Our defence is not looking great at the moment.
Romero over Saliba.
Hate it. Man United versus Chelsea. Won't touch on it too long.
Just stinky. I mean, the players look a little bit more up for it now that Ten Hag's gone.
Yeah.
But Chelsea didn't really...
It was Chelsea's game
to lose.
Yeah, they look bad.
And then when Bruno scored, I thought... Sticky times. I thought they might see it out, but of course they couldn't. I don't know. Chelsea are going to be like this, I think.
Inconsistent. That's why I said I think their ceiling is like third, fourth.
Yeah, maybe I think fourth to sort of sixth is probably a good season for them.
Yeah, 100%.
I think they challenged for Champions League. That would be a good season for them. And I think they're going to be inconsistent throughout. I think they've got inconsistent players.
Man United, Ruben Amorim, good appointment.
Very good appointment.
I think he'll do
but
well.
But it's the same thing. Like, we won't know because we've had good managers go there before. But I think this is slightly different.
Yeah,
But is it that much different to when they signed Ten Hag? Gone from a good European club.
In terms of CV right now, no. It probably looks exactly the same.
But it can't be worse.
He's more handsome. Good head of hair.
Yeah. I like the way he approached the media as well.
Yeah, yeah. I just think
even the way
maybe
he spoke about the Man United job.
Yeah, a bit more kind of, a bit more exciting maybe.
It's going to be a big change up in system. Three at the back. Sort of more bodies in midfield.
He's Portuguese as well. Portuguese, which is well. get on well with Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, and Diego Dalot.
So that might help, but I don't know.
And he's good at developing players.
Yeah.
I mean, you see the players coming through at Sporting. Like, he's been reunited with Ugarte as well.
Maybe they'll get Gyökeres.
Lock off, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I tell you what though, Gyökeres has got nothing on the next man I want to touch on. Mr. Chris Wood. Ballon d'Or contender?
Robbed, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. He is the greatest footballer I've ever witnessed. And I don't even mean that disrespectfully. He is just so old school, but he's so bloody brilliant.
Second top goal scorer in the Prem. Stats don't lie.
I love watching him. And he's a man that's been disrespected throughout his career.
Mm.
Burnley, Newcastle. He's not just a big man.
No.
He is so fucking football IQ.
Yeah,
mental.
I think he spent so long with Sean Dyche that everybody kind of just was like, oh, he's a big man up top.
Put him in the same bag as like Ashley Barnes.
But mate, he's got a bit about him.
100%. And Nottingham Forest now sit third in the league above Arsenal.
Got to put some respect on Nuno Espirito Santo because I think a lot of people, I'm pretty sure I had them to get relegated.
Yep.
I said Nuno is not going to last.
No.
I thought it wasn't going to last. I thought maybe
he tailed off at Wolves and then he went to some like weird club.
I think he did do Saudi or Dubai for
maybe. And then he went to Spurs.
Yeah.
And that was poor. But everyone was poor at Spurs at that time. And then
he's cooking. And I really like what they're doing. They're two centre-backs. We said when they signed Milenkovic from Fiorentina.
Very good
sign. Very good sign. And he's proved to be really good. Next to him, Murillo, who looks quality.
I mean, we slated Elliot Anderson.
Good signing.
Very good signing.
And full-backs of Alex Moreno from Aston Villa. He looks good. And Ola Aina, who was a bit part at Fulham when they had him. But
what an absolute banger
on the weekend. Yeah, he looks really good. And yeah, just good players everywhere. Cullen Hudson-Odoi good. Alanga good. Yeah.
And Chris Wood. I mean, Awoniyi is not going to have a sniff.
And Awoniyi is a good player as well.
100%.
He's keeping out Awoniyi.
He almost like fits that profile better than Chris Wood. But
He's
Chris Wood. They've got Newcastle, Arsenal, Ipswich City, United, Villa coming up.
That is a hard run again.
Could we see the title charge derail?
I mean, potentially, but what Olana, do you see the interview with Olana anyway? He's just sipping a Ribena. Yeah. Mate, what a guy. That's a vibe.
That's such a vibe.
But game at a time, he's saying.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do. They're not in the Carabao. Obviously, no Europe. Mm. Game at a time. It's nice when you've got one game to focus on every week.
Yeah, it's good.
Could do business.
And I think they can keep it up. I think a top half finish for them after the last few seasons.
And they've been recruited. They've obviously, like, it's well known that they've recruited a lot.
Yeah.
So they've got a deep squad. So...
Yeah.
And
he's getting the most out of each player.
So it could be kind of tasty.
And
I
would love to see Chris Wood end the season with 20 plus goals.
He's on it. He's already on double digits.
That's better than Arsenal win the league for you, surely.
Maybe.
But yeah, it's a hard run. I think maybe come and see where you are in January, and then we'll talk about maybe getting a European spot.
Maybe we'll get Forrest all over back on the pod again for a 100%. Little chat.
It's been a while. Rightio, is it time to move on to our
the best of the rest and the howler of the week? Luke, talk to me. What we got?
Best of the rest. It was a toss-up between two for me. We have... let me just get it up so I don't accidentally butcher his name. Apologies. Watford. Travelled up to Hillsborough.
The local boys.
Travelled up to Middlesbrough. Yep, they won 6-2.
They did.
It was 1-0 at half-time. The Tomlin scored a penalty. And then Bayo Varun, I think his name is, went on a madness. He scored four goals.
Four goals, come on.
But for me, I'm throwing it to the FA Cup. The magic of the cup. We spoke about this last year.
The greatest cup competition in the world, they say.
100%. But has it lost its sparkle? They scrap replays.
Mm.
But Kettering Town, led by Niall Ranger, not usually on the BBC for the right reasons, led them to a victory over local rivals Northampton. Crazy disparity in places between the two teams. And you got that James Acaster clip. K and a T and a T and an R. Yeah, that one. Brilliant. Yeah.
Kettering Town FC.
You have won the best of the rest. On to Howl of the Week.
What we got?
It's not even Howl of the Week. It's just horrendous. It's... what's his name? Flex.
Yeah. We're not trivialising it either. It's actually disgusting behaviour from...
I'm just getting it up.
...the trashy troglodyte.
Yeah, so United view outside Old Trafford after the Chelsea game. Flex interviewing fans. And this random woman walks up and just starts being racist. Well, she wasn't even, like, being racist. She was just saying, like, sort of spouting some nonsense. Maybe singing, like, an anti-Chelsea chant.
Mm.
And then she just said, dropped some absolute horrific racism. No, I don't know if it was directed at Flex or just she was just being race in general. But it's just...
Just get her in a cell, mate.
Yeah, why? It's so unprovoked. The geezer's just there doing
it. If you're
like,
doing it unprovoked, well, if you're doing it at all. But like you can tell that it was just on her mind at all times. She's just a wrong'un.
Flex is like, from what I've seen of him anyway,
pretty sound
he's really sound, like very chill... Like, nice guy is just out there doing his thing, getting involved in the United community, producing good content. And you just unprovoked do something like that. I don't get it.
So weird.
You don't get it. So it's not even Howl of the Week. It's just you are the biggest wanker of the year.
Nice.
So congratulations. I hope you end up in a cell. Disgusting. Let's lock the tone though with some boardroom advice. We've got two entries for you this week. We didn't do one. We did one last week, but we didn't record the pod. So we've got Bucket Hat Sam up first with his game week 11 predictions, I believe it is.
Yeah, 10 or 11.
Something like that. Let's see how we got on.
Hello, board draw. Happy Saturday. Hopefully everyone is doing well. The sun is not shining. It's very grey, which means it's going to be a stinky week of football. I am probably the worst at predictions, by the way. I'm going to put that out here. Whatever I predict, usually the opposite happens. So if I just get one outcome right, I'm going to be buzzing. So we're going to start off with the Villa-Bournemouth game. Villa have been absolutely smashing it this season. They've been really coping quite well with the Champions League. So I think they're going to win again here. I'm going to go for a 3-1. Big, big win. And I think Duran's going to step up in this game after his little tantrum in the midweek in the Champions League. Okay, next, we're going to be talking. I can't remember the order. I've written it down somewhere. So I'm going to talk next, the Arsenal-Liverpool game. I think Liverpool are going to win this 1-0. I know people are saying that Saka might be injured. I presume he'll play because Arsenal do this every time. But I look at it without Odegaard. I think Liverpool have been playing really well. And I think there's going to be an upset here. So I'm going to go, 1-0 Liverpool. Chelsea-Newcastle, the battle of the stinkers. Both teams don't really know if they're any good or not. Blow hot and cold every single week. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. And I think it's going to be a bit of a stinky game. I hope not, because I'm planning to go to the pub and watch this on Sunday. So I hope that's a good game. Then as well, we have got West Ham versus Manchester United. Again, another battle of the stinkers. But I think Man United are going to win this 2-1. Ten Hag has got that kind of aura. Like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, whenever each team goes stinky or whatever, they perform well. And he just gets a performance out of the bag. And everyone goes, actually, could this all be turning around? Could they be all right? So there you go. Those are my predictions, as well as Everton Fulham. Sorry, I've completely forgot about that one. I think Fulham will win this 2-0 at Everton. Yes, I know it's a difficult ground to go to in Goodison Park, but Fulham have been incredible this season, and I can see players like Iwobi scoring against their old club. It's got vibes of that for me. But yeah, thank you guys for having me on the channel. Hopefully all of these come in and we're not laughing at this when I watch this back on Monday. Probably, but you heard it now. I'm sorry if I backed your team, because you'll probably lose. Yeah, peace. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Right,
Sam.
What happened?
Not ideal for Bucket Hat Sam. 0 points. Bottom of the leaderboard. I messaged Luke. I was like, it's actually more impressive. I think I messaged Sam as well. More impressive to drop a 0 than it is like a 1 or a 2.
Because a lot
0,
of these were like
nothing.
One goal swings either way. But
like he predicted 2-1 Man United, 2-1 West Ham.
He did warn us though. He did say his predictions are terrible, notoriously so.
We did some like interesting stuff in there. Like he said Iwobi to score against his former team. That happened. But he said 2-0 and it was 1-1.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
We appreciate you taking the time to send in the clip, though. Moving on to football card game.
Check them out if you haven't. We've done a few videos with them in the past. We've done one that didn't see the light of day, sadly. And we've got a collab coming up with them soon. They make a football card game. It's a good laugh to play with your mates if you're into football trivia and stuff.
Yeah, we'll put the link down in the description. It's an absolutely brilliant game. So you can take it with you to the pub, or if you just want to sit around a table and play it with your mates, your friends, your family, whatever. It's all good. Let's see how they got on their predictions.
Check it out.
Okay, board draw fives. Honour to be invited. Let's see if I can top this leaderboard. So first up, we've got Newcastle Arsenal at St James's Park. As an Arsenal fan, still a few results here in the last few seasons haunt me a little bit. But I think we'll have enough. I think Arsenal will win 2-1. Tightish game, but I think they'll come out on top. Next up, Ipswich-Leicester. I think this will be a fun game. I think there'll be goals. Maybe some dodgy VAR calls. Sending off. Something like that. I'll say final score 2-2 in that one. Forest-West Ham. I don't think this will be too exciting. I think it'll be quite a closed-up game. Forest don't concede many. West Ham don't score many, other than a few weeks ago against Ipswich. 1-0 Forest. Tight game, 1-0 Forest. Sunday, we've got Spurs-Villa. Could be a good game, could be fun, could be end-to-end. I think Villa will come out on top, so I'll say 2-1 Villa in that one. And then last of all, Man United-Chelsea. I think you might get a bounce out of United post-Ten Hag, but I don't think it will be enough. I think Chelsea are, you know, by some distance, the better team this season. So I'll say Chelsea win that 2-1. Golden assist from Cole Palmer. And that's it. That's my predictions. Let's see how it goes.
So, 2 points. You're not bottom of the leaderboard, which is nice. Right, let's start off. Obviously, he's an Arsenal fan. He said 2-1 Arsenal. Stinky. It was a bad day at the office. He said Ipswich 2, Leicester 2. It was actually a 1-1 draw.
Yep, so get a point for that.
Get a point for
not
that.
Far off.
Forest 1, West Ham 0. Correct, Amondo. Well, 3-0 for Forest, but...
Correct result.
1 point. He said Villa to beat Spurs.
Yeah.
2-1. It did not. It was 4-1.
4-1 Spurs.
And then he said a 2-1 win for Chelsea against Man United. That finished 1-1. 0 points for that, and that's 2 points overall.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of those games, you know what I mean? Like, if he... Extra goal for Leeds, Leicester, Ipswich. You know, you're in the money.
But, yeah, no, still solid. 2 points is all right.
Yeah, it's probably along the lines of what I would have predicted.
I think the base kind of average will be about two, three points.
I think so as well. Because I mean, what a weekend to try and predict as well.
Yeah, it was hard, yeah.
Yeah, we threw him... well, obviously, we didn't know, but...
To be fair, we didn't ask him to predict the Man City game, so he got out of that one lightly.
Very lightly, indeed. Yeah, this is how the leaderboard ranks up at the minute.
Let us know who you'd like to get involved with Board Draw Fives, because the leaderboard is looking juicy and someone needs to come and knock mics off the top of the leaderboard.
It's going to be a job doing that. 100% going to be a big job. We've got another weekend of football coming up, and then we've got another stinky international break.
We're going to reevaluate how we do the pod as well. We might change it up, 2 videos a week.
What kind of content you want us to see.
Yeah, we might slot in some kind of...
analytical videos.
Analytical ranking. I don't know, some bits and bobs.
We're taking pot shots at Roz. 30 yards.
We're going to try and get some more content out there. 100%. Hopefully.
Something to keep you entertained as we approach the festive period. If you have enjoyed this video, please hit the like button. Leave us a comment down below. Let us know what you want to see in the future, who you'd like to see on for Board Draw Fives. And if you do want to cop yourself a nice, cheeky little classic football shirt coming up to the Christmas period, make some good gifts for your friends. If you're doing a secret Santa or something.
Big shout. Use our link, mate.
Use our link down below. Use the code BoardRawTen at checkout and save yourself a nice little 10%. Anything you'd like to add?
No. Arsenal, buck up your ideas, mate. Get me in as sporting director, actually.
Roller's open.
Get sick.
We won't drop the content.
You know what makes me laugh is whenever like big football clubs like advertise like big LinkedIn. Roles on LinkedIn.
Yeah,
so funny.
Anyway, guys, it's been BoardRaw. Thank you very much for watching. And it's live.